And let's open with prayer. It's always the best place to start, right? Gracious God, we thank you for this gorgeous day yet again. We thank you for this place and for these people. We ask that you would fill this place with your Spirit, that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our souls to hear and to receive your message of grace, mercy, and love. We ask, Lord, that you would surround us with your peace. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So I had an interesting experience this morning. Do you want to know about it? All right. It's appropriate, I promise. I was, on Sundays, I tend to get up early. And so just to kind of get ready, drink coffee, clear my mind, you know. And so I got up at like 5:30, did all this stuff, got ready, and then sat down and started reading some devotions and just kind of getting ready for the day. And my wife comes out of the bedroom, and she said, "Oh, what are you going to preach on today?" And I said, "Oh, you know, it's I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." She said, "Oh, that one." I said, "Yeah." She said, "You've been preaching that wrong all these years." I said, "My goodness. Well, what's the correct way to preach it?" She said, "Well, you didn't preach it wrong all these years. There's just a better way to do it." And I said, "Okay, what's the better way to do this? You know, tell me. I've learned not to react." Okay. What's the better way? Because I really want to know. And she said, "Well, the theme of that you've spent time on, and every time this comes up, you kind of talk about this, is, you know, John the Baptist getting people ready and for the coming of Jesus and making straight the wilderness and blah, 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 blah." She said, that's kind of what it's about, but that's not all of it's about. And I said, "Okay, where are you going with this?" And she said, "Preach on this." I said, "We'll see. They never know." She said, "Think of it this way. The wilderness is within us. It's not outside of us." I said, "Oh my gosh." At this point, I was brushing my teeth. And I said, "I think that's probably the best way to look at this. That's the best way I've ever heard. I've never heard that from anywhere else, that the wilderness is within us. Not necessarily outside of us." Yeah, when we're outside of our own selves and we're out in the world, it can feel like wilderness because it's chaotic. But if you think about it, what is more chaotic in life than what's within your own self? What's within your own heart? What you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, the struggles with anxiety and worry and pressures from work and pressures to pay the bills and, you know, all of these things that kind of create this storm around us, but it's really invisible because it's all within us. What if John the Baptist knew that? And what if he gave us a way to deal with it? What if he was telling us, get your stuff together, make a path. When you make straight the way of the Lord, the wilderness is within your heart. If we're to make straight the way of the Lord within our hearts, what does that look like? How do we do that? The answer is in the second lesson that is not printed in your bulletin. The answer is right here. In the second lesson, I'm going to read it to you again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The way that we can make straight the path in the wilderness of our hearts is by having relationship with Jesus. He's saying, rejoice always. It's like saying thank you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the one that I got hung up on, and I do from time to time. Okay? Pray without ceasing. Anyone? Anyone? Pray without ceasing obviously doesn't mean you're continually folding your hands and speaking prayers of or our fathers or whatever, right? That's not, it's unreasonable. Praying without ceasing is something that's much different. First, I guess you would have to ask, what is prayer? If you're going to pray without ceasing, then what is prayer? That's the logical first question. So what is prayer? What does that mean to you? In one or two words. Connected with God. Did that all come from this one, like four different people? Connected with God. What else? Dialogue, talking. Answers on this side now. What is prayer to you? Listening. Thanksgiving. What was that? In your heart. What else? Prayer is so much, right? So if we are going to be praying without ceasing, we need to get away from the definition that church has put on us about what prayer is. And that is to what? Kneel down, fold your hands, bow your heads, and ask for stuff. Right? Right? To kneel down at the foot of your bed, if you want to get really traditional. Right? Yeah. Kneel down and then ask God for stuff and thank God for stuff. I mean, really, in essence. We got to get away from that mindset. And unfortunately, a lot of us grew up with that teaching, that understanding that that's what prayer is. As if it's some kind of work to attain salvation. We miss the mark on that. Prayer is not, it is that, but it is not that. It's not only that, it's much deeper than that. To pray without ceasing means to be in a relationship with God and where you are constantly in dialogue with God in your mind. You might be looked at kind of strangely if you were vocalizing your conversation with God, because it's only one-sided, right? Yeah. If you want to take it even a step further, praying without ceasing is basically getting into a meditative state and remaining there. What do you think when you think of meditation? This is a safe place. You can shout out the words. What's that?
Silence.
What else? Reflection. And the first thing that comes up in my mind for meditation is boredom. Really? It is. That's the first word that pops into my head. Now, do I practice meditation? I do. Do I get bored? Sometimes. Meditation is bringing yourself, centering yourself, and being intentional about listening to God, listening to what God has to tell you, and talking to God about what you're going through all the time, and then remaining in that place. When you think about meditation, when I think about meditation, I see people, you know, sitting down on the floor with their legs crossed in the lotus position. And that's where they remain. And they're there for, like Buddhist monks or whatever, they're there forever. And maybe they'll float off into space. I don't know. But that's kind of what I think of when I hear meditation. So you can't, if you're going to be in a constant state of prayer, and in that constant state of meditation, how can you do that without having to stay still? How can you do that while still living out your life? While still living out your calling that God has placed upon you, while still working, while still going to school, while still surfing, whatever. How do you do that? I'm not going to tell you it's simple. It's difficult to keep your mind in that place, on that level, to where you are constantly addressing God in your daily thoughts. Perhaps, this is it, perhaps to pray without ceasing, ceasing is very different. Perhaps to pray without ceasing is continually turning your focus upon God and away from ourselves. What's the human being's downfall? What is the cause of all of the wilderness within ourselves, within our heart? Us, our egos, right? Our egos. That's what destroys everything. That's what messes everything up. And now to put that aside and to focus on God is how we stay in that meditative place. If we can take ourselves out of the picture and we can focus on God, and everything we do in our life is about doing it for God, perhaps it'll be easier to be in relationship with God. If we can take ourselves out of it, if only we could take ourselves out of that. It's not always possible. I think what our ego does is it should serve as a reminder that we need to focus on God, that we need to keep Jesus at the forefront of our life. Everything we do is for Jesus, because of Jesus, because of his love for us, because of our relationship with him. Right? That's God, is what he said? Perhaps. I have heard of stranger things. I really want you to think about that, though. To pray without ceasing is continually turning our focus to God and away from ourselves. I think the definition of sin is when we focus on ourselves, when we become selfish, self-focused. That's the definition of sin. Well, what happened in the garden? Okay, after Adam and Eve did all the fruit stuff, what happened? They realized that they were naked, and they realized that there was something wrong with them, and so their thoughts became themselves, and they hid. They hid from God. They hid from this relationship they had with God that was perfect. That's what our ego does. It takes where we once had relationship with God, now we have a relationship with ourselves. And that just seems weird. It does to me. But I'm weird. If we can realize that we are focusing on ourselves all the time, then we will know, and we should be focusing on God, on Jesus, then we will no longer experience those times of anxiety and worry and frustration and chaos that we experience in our hearts every day and every night of our lives. God does not want that for you. God does not want that for me. God wants us to have that calm, that peace that comes with being in relationship with Jesus. That's what God wants for us. So now you all, if you're all listening, you'll know that when you begin to get focused on something that is not Jesus, focused on maybe it's your own life and the things that are going badly, or maybe it's your own life and the things that are going really well. If you begin to, now that you hear this and you see that you are focusing on yourself, no matter the reason, you can use that. Use it. Put it in your brain. Use that peace. Use that knowledge that now, because you can recognize that you're focusing on yourself, you can make that paradigm shift and say, okay, I need to refocus on Jesus, because that's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. We are in this Advent season where we are anxiously awaiting the coming of our Lord on two levels. Remembering the Christ child as an infant born on Christmas, but we're also awaiting the return of our Lord. Keep Jesus at the front of your vision. Keep Jesus the focus. Make him everything in your life. And I will guarantee you that that storm, that chaos, that wilderness that's within yourself, within your heart, it will begin to subside. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much, so very much, for loving us. We ask that you would help us to recognize when we are not focusing on you, when you are no longer at the forefront of our thought. We ask that you would help us to put you back there, that you would help us to embrace your calm and your peace and your joy and everything that you bring to us. Gracious God, we pray for those who are not here today. Help them to experience you in some profound way that changes their life. Pray this in your holy name.